Welcome. We're glad you've joined us for this Hand in Hand podcast. Hand in Hand is a nonprofit organization, and we provide information, classes, training, and lots of support for parents like you. We call our approach Parenting by Connection, and it's based on the insight that you deserve good support as you parent, and every child needs lots of connection in order to thrive. We offer tools to help you foster support for yourself and connection in your family. We hope this podcast gives you exactly the kind of support you're looking for.
I think we'll go right ahead and begin. My name is Patty Whitzler. I'm the founder and the program director at Hand in Hand Parenting, and I'm also a mom and a grandmom. And I'm the co-author with Tasha Shore of our book, which is called Listen, Five Simple Tools for Meeting Your Everyday Parenting Challenges. It just got released in August, and I'll introduce Tasha to you in a moment. I think while people are gathering, there are something like 680 people who will be listening to this teleseminar either now or via link later on. We're so glad that so many parents have come to join us here. But while we're waiting for people to get here, I just want to say what hand-in-hand parenting is for those of you that are tuning in for the first time. We are a nonprofit organization. I founded it 27 or 28 years ago. And our whole reason for existence is to support parents. We want parents to be able to deliver their love and deliver their guidance and build close relationships with their children that are mutually rewarding. And a short way to say it is we want every parent to be able to put their head on their pillow at night and go, wow, that was a hard day, but I know I reached my child. I know I did things that will help my child grow and be strong and sound and build his judgment. So we kind of want that for every parent every night. And we offer various services, both free and for a fee, to help parents do that. We're really wanting to support parents with good information and with emotional support. And we'll talk a little more about that in a bit. And I want to introduce Tasha Shore. Tasha is the mother of three boys. She has been with Hand in Hand Parenting for 10 or 11 years. She is a writer, a blogger, and she loves parents to help parents really enjoy their boys, learn how to raise boys well. That's one of her specialties. And so, Tasha, welcome.
Thank you, Patty. It's really a pleasure to be doing this with you.
Yeah. And how we're going to structure the call is that Tasha and I are going to try to take no more than 20 minutes to kind of frame the question of, you know, what parents can do when they mess up. It's like, how do we repair the relationship and how do we live with ourselves when we make parenting boo-boos that we're not happy with? And so that's our topic today. We will talk for a little bit, and then we're going to open it up to questions. And we're kind of hoping for questions about, you know, building support for yourself. But we, you know, we know that you have lots of other questions about helping your children sleep, helping children with aggression, helping children with sibling difficulties. And I think we're going to try to refer you to articles and self-guided courses that we have and to sections of our book that will illuminate the way to keep moving things forward in your family on that topic. We're going to not – often we answer questions in great detail and take 5 or 10 minutes per person, but this time I think we're going to try to go a little faster and show you where you can find the answers from Hand in Hand and from our book. So that we can get to more people. And the way that you say that you want to pose a question is to press star 2. But I'll remind you of that again after Tasha and I have finished introducing our topic of, you know, what to do when we lose it with our kids. So, Tasha, take it away.
Okay, thanks, Patty. So, yeah, I was actually really excited to do this topic because I think when most of us think about getting support for our parenting, most of us come with questions about our kids. You know, how do I get my, you know, son to stop hitting his brother, or how do I get my little girl to sleep through the night, or my kid's always getting in trouble in school and it's embarrassing and I've tried everything and I don't know what to do. And I think what we want to do in this call is to kind of turn our perspective inwards a little bit and say, like, okay, yes, we can help you with all of those things, but there's also a big important piece that often gets overlooked in parenting, and that's what about us? And one of the things that we do in our book is really lay out this idea that parenting, or a fact, I don't even want to call it an idea, a fact that parenting is really, really emotional work. It is really hard work. But it's not treated that way by most of the societies that we live in. Okay, so we don't get praised for our work as a parent, right? Nobody comes home at the end of the day or sees you in the park and says, like, wow, you have such great patience with your girl, or wow, you know, you're a really good dad or a really good mom. I mean, occasionally we may get something like that, but mostly we don't get much praise. and we also don't have much support. So oftentimes parents are stuck in places, for example, where they're having to choose between staying home with a sick child or going to work and not losing their job, for example. And these are just example ways that society doesn't support us. So we really, really need support. And all of this kind of leads into why we mess up as parents. And so one of the things that I want to just point out is that, just like we say about our kids are really always doing the best that they can, and that any off-track behaviors they're showing us are really calls for help. They're saying, you know, mom, dad, teacher, like, this is the best I can figure out to show you how hard things are for me right now. So I know this will come as a shock, but we work the same way. So we are also good people, and we are also doing our absolute best. And even though, like our kids, sometimes our best doesn't look that great, it's still our best. And one way that we can make it better is by building our support network around us. So parenting isn't work that's done very well in isolation. In fact, when we're alone, what happens is we tend to fantasize about how perfect everybody's life is, about how great of a parent that, you know, mom or dad is, and so much better than us, or judge others and put them down. And it just gets really messy. And instead of then bonding one another and being able to support one another, we are competitive against, you know, competitive with one another. So there isn't a perfect parent. The expectations that we put on ourselves and that society puts on us are completely unreasonable. And so let's remember that we are doing our best. We're doing our best at all times. And if we can build really good support for ourselves, we can do even better. So, you know, I guess I gave you a few examples of, and we talk about this more in our book, about the external forces that make parenting really challenging. And Patty, I think, is going to talk about some of those internal ones in a little bit. But there are external forces that I mentioned, like having to choose, some of us, because of financial reasons, between a sick child or going to work. So there are many financial pressures on parents, because even though it is a full-time job that never stops, nobody's paying us for it. So most of us have to go out and have another job and earn money. So the stress is high. And then there are also, you know, what I call all the isms, whether it's, you know, a sexism or racism or classism or homophobia or, you know, whatever it is, that we all belong to different groups and face different types of discrimination. And those just intensify the general struggle that we face as parents. We're often just targets of criticism just because we're parents. You know, how many times have you been in a park with your child or in a supermarket or on an airplane or a bus and have some other parent or some other adult who knows if they're a parent or not give you advice about how you should, you know, get your child to be quiet or something like that. So there's sort of the sense that where everybody can just chime in whenever they want. So all of these things just come together to make parenting really hard. So, okay, that's kind of the yucky news and the bad news and the heavy part of it. But the good news is that Patty Whitfler has come up with this idea of listening partnerships that we write about again in the book, and it's in detail. And I want to just take a minute to let you know how the tool of listening partnerships fits in the bigger picture of all the tools that we teach at Hand in Hand. And again, the reason I want to do this is because, like I said, when I started talking, most of us come looking for parenting help because we have a specific issue with our child that we want to fix, something about their behaviors, and we have tools for those things. But the listening partnership is what allows us to take good care of ourselves. And I'll let Patty go into it in a little bit more in a minute. But I want to kind of paint this picture of it as kind of a super tool. Like if there are five listening tools, if we have the tool of setting limits and stay listening and play listening and special time, then we also have this overarching tool, this super tool called listening partnerships, that without which I personally find it near impossible to implement those other tools. So what we hope to do in this call is help you be strategic about how you can use this tool and how you can, to build your parenting confidence, to get yourself what I like to call in better parenting shape so that you can implement the other tools, and also how to build a community for yourself. Anything you wanted to add, Patty?
No, I think that was a great summary, Tasha.
Okay, great. Yeah. Thanks. So you want to?
Yeah, so the internal challenges, they're the external attitudes about parents and the total lack of consciousness about how hard this job is, and in particular about how hard it is to do emotional work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There are internal challenges that we bring to parenting. So even if you had oodles of support, which I don't really know any parent who had that, but it's theoretically possible to have oodles of support, you would still face challenges in parenting, because when we feel stressed, when our child cries and we can't figure out what the reason is, when our children, get into it with each other, when our children come home and tell us they feel like they're stupid because of something that happened at school, we feel stress and our thinking shuts down. And when our thinking shuts down, what winds up happening is that behavior leaps out of us that very closely resembles the behavior that leapt out of our parents when we were small and their thinking shut down. So that's when we tend to yell, yank an arm, criticize a child, send them to their room, although we promised ourselves we wouldn't do that, when we speak harshly, when we just walk away in disgust and show sort of remove ourselves emotionally from our children, when we punish them, when we resort to star charts on the refrigerator to try to help them change their behavior because we can't think of anything else. Although star charts last about 2 days, the effect is, it can have a little effect, but not for long. So we get caught by the behaviors, that we have seen, the behavior patterns that we've taken in from our parents. And when we can't think, when we can't guide our own behavior, that's what leaks out. And so the challenge is, the effect of our past on our present. And our past doesn't really have anything to do with our present. As long as we can think, we are choosing our behavior and choosing our perspective and choosing our responses to our children. But, our thinking can disappear. All it takes is a child's spitting once, and our thinking can disappear entirely, for a whole half hour. We can just go nuts because that was a behavior that, was never tolerated when we were little. And, out come reactive behaviors that separate us from our child and kind of scare our children and make the whole situation a little more complicated than it was. And this happens to everybody. This happened to me thousands of times as a parent, although I knew these tools. It happens to Tasha. It happens to all of our instructors. It happens to everybody. It's not, you know, it's not like your thinking is going to be operative all the time, you know, once you get the listening tools going, you know. Children keep coming up with new challenges, and we keep having to offload the emotions that sit behind the reactive behavior that we have. And that's why listening partnerships are so helpful. It's like we can be triggered. We've got lots of little triggers ready to snap, but we can sort of disarm those triggers and actually eliminate them if we can work on the feelings that we have about our children's behavior and about the things that we saw and the things that we even don't remember from our childhood that were, you know, full of harshness or separation or upset. And the fewer upsets we're carrying into a situation ready to be triggered, the easier time we have handling the situation, even if it's a situation that almost everybody around us doesn't know how to handle. It's like you can kind of become, you know, an EMT, a behavior emergency medical technician, emergency behavioral technician, come in and do something elegant with a very difficult behavior that almost no adult around you knows what to do with, as long as you aren't being triggered. And so listening partnerships are what you do to become less triggered, to become more, to have more emotional stamina under stress. And so the strategies from the book about what to do when we are losing it are in one of the later chapters of the book, and I think Tasha's going to start out there. Go ahead, Tasha.
Okay. Thanks. Yeah, so we do outline in – can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a blip. It is true, in a later chapter of the book, we talk about three specific strategies to deal with difficult moments. In other words, let's say we haven't been able to keep up on our listening partnerships, or even though we are keeping up on our listening partnerships, we still slip up, like Patty said, you know, she does, and I still do, and we all do. There are some things that you can do in the moment. One of them is to set up emergency listening partnerships. And so just to give you an example, like I have regular weekly listening partnerships with several people that I have, you know, on the same time, the same day, each week. Those are just regular. I know they're there. I also have a bunch of people on my phone that I can text in an emergency any day, any night, in different time zones around the world. And when I'm upset, when I feel myself about to be really angry at my child and, you know, I can't figure out how to stop myself, I can just remove myself from the situation, pull out my phone, text, does anybody have 5 minutes to listen to me? And the interesting thing about this is that even if none of the, you know, 10 or 20 people that I can reach out to are there, the act of reaching out and knowing that there's this web of support that I've built for myself allows me oftentimes to just regain my stature, to be able to calm myself down, to mostly by just remembering that I'm not alone, that there are people out there who know I'm a good parent, and allows me to just calm down and then come back and address my child in a calmer way. I feel like I'm forgetting to say something about that. Did I cover, is there something, a main point I missed, Patty, there, or is that?
I don't know. I guess for people that are really new to Hand in Hand, I mean, the way we offload the emotional tension is in crying or laughter or tantrums. We get to have tantrums ourselves. It's like emotional tension can be packed back into place. It's like you can breathe 10 times or walk around the block and come back and try again. But that doesn't really eliminate the trigger. It gets, it's a detour around the reactive behavior that you don't want to fall into. It's a detour. what really allows us to eliminate the triggers, to be so much more relaxed and to not have to, you know, try really hard to control ourselves, is lots of laughter, lots of crying, a really good tantrum, letting somebody have it, but into the ear of a listening partner rather than into the ear of your four-year-old, or your husband or your wife. It's just like, you know, taking the tension and showing it to someone who isn't involved and who is willing and has agreed to listen just makes so much sense. Like, there is a trash can for all of that tension, and that person who is willing to serve as the trash can or the supporter while you notice how hard you're trying and how hard it is and cry about that, you can then help them. And so you don't have to pay for this. You can exchange this favor, and it just makes all the difference.
Yeah. Thanks. And I wanted to just add also, if you guys get the Hand in Hand newsletter, I wrote a piece in this December issue about this, and it just shows how I used an emergency listening partnership after I did blow up at one of my boys, and reached out for help and was able to cry with a listening partnership and really heal and loosen up those feelings so that I could then come back to him and apologize and repair that connection. So you can read that in the December newsletter that Hand in Hand sent out. Do you want to talk about the anchor drill, Patty?
Sure. Just a little footnote, though. We do recommend apologizing. You know, whether you ever get a listening partnership or not, you know, apologizing to our children for being harsh with them or being rigid or just not remembering how lovely and dear they are, is important. It's really important for grown-ups to own the places where they haven't done things quite right. If we want our children to be able to take responsibility for their behavior as they grow, it's not time for them to take responsibility for their behavior in that way right now. We don't really believe in forced apologies for children, but genuine apologies from parents, even if it's a week later, even if it takes you a week to recover your ability to say, you know, that was really a goof and I'm so sorry I lost it that way and I love you and I didn't mean to be hard on you. Whenever you can say it genuinely, that's the time to do it, and it does make a difference. So
yeah,
the next strategy, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to share a little anecdote that happened recently about that, if I can.
Oh,
that recently I had gotten upset with one of my boys about something about homework, and he said to me, he got mad at me, and he goes, and I said, you know, and I apologized. Like a few minutes later, I apologized, and he said, yeah, and then you're just going to do it again, and then you're just going to apologize again, and then you're going to do it again, and then you're going to apologize again. And I thought to myself, oh, God. Is this what's going on? But first of all, I still felt like, okay, well, I keep making this mistake and I am apologizing and he's noticing that. And second of all, what I can take from that, and Patty will touch on this later, is that maybe there's a bigger project here for me to work on. If I'm continually slipping up in the same place, then I've got some work to do. And, you know, thank you, I said in my head, for pointing that out to me. So I just wanted to add that in.
Great. Thank you. So another strategy is to, if you're going through a stage where things are really frustrating you or angering you easily, say, to do kind of an anger drill with your child. So because one of the problems with us losing it is that our children get scared, they feel helpless. You know, there they are with an adult that's twice their size or three times their size, who is full of emotion that has been piling up over the last 30 years at least. And all of that emotion doesn't belong to this little incident, but it is, and it's fairly overwhelming. And because children are vulnerable and because we're a whole lot bigger and in the control of things around them, it can be frightening. And so that adds fear on top of the whatever the difficulty was that they were caught in when we blew up at them. So we're kind of making a difficult situation worse when we blow up. And the best, one thing you can do, if this is happening a lot, is to set up a strategy and to try to empower your child there. And this, you know, doing a little anger drill means that you are not pretending that you'll never blow up again, which is good. You're being realistic about the situation. And you're telling your child what they can do to protect themselves when you get angry, what they can do to handle the situation. So even if they're just 3 years old, you say, you know, sometimes daddy gets really mad, or sometimes mommy starts yelling. And I don't want to yell. I don't want to be getting really mad at you. I love you. And it's not good, but sometimes I can't help it. I get so worried, or I'm under so much stress. So here, I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. And this is actually a strategy for what you do. So you create an anger spot. You find one spot in the house. It might be a wall in your bedroom that doesn't have anything hung on it. So if you pound on it, you know, things won't fall down. It could be, you know, there's a bed that you can whack, you know, you can take your kid's plastic bat, baseball bat, and whack the bed with the bat really powerfully. Or you can go out in the garage and punch the duffel bag that's out there that's full of old clothes that, you know, you don't know what to do with. So you find a place where you can be noisy and vigorous, because in the middle of anger, we tend to forget that we are the grown-ups. We tend to feel small and helpless, and we want to fight. And in order to help ourselves remember that we are actually big and powerful, and that, you know, it helps to kind of move, to be vigorous, to jump up and down, to slap the wall, to pound the bed, to hit the sofa, and make a lot of noise. What you don't want to do is say all the things that are running through your head. You know, I wish I'd never become a parent. I don't know what to do with you goddamn kids. I just want to, you know, toss you in the bushes. That's what I want to do. That you keep to yourself. That belongs with your listening partner. But you can, you know, roar and make noise and pound. And what you're trying to do is help yourself begin to feel powerful enough that you can begin to cry if possible. Or just let the awful stuff out enough that you can remember who you are, remember who your children are, and get back to being a reasonable parent again if you can't find a listening partner. So you figure this out, what you plan to do when you're mad, in order to in order to counter the helplessness you feel. And it's going to be vigorous and it might be loud. And then you tell your child, okay, mommy or daddy is going to, when I get mad, I'm going to go in the room and this is what I'm going to do. And you do a mild version of that. And actually you do a little anger drill with a mild version of getting mad. So, okay, mommy's going to get mad now, just like I do. And you just do a funny little cartoon, wordless, silly thing that indicates, you know, a very mild, distant cartoon of your angry self. And then you run over to the, you know, again, sort of comically, you scurry into your bedroom, scurry out to the garage, and you whap, whap, whap the wall, or you whap, whap, whap the bed, and you do, again, a little light cartoon version of this. And then you go, ah, I feel better. I love you. And you give your kids a hug. And so you might do this several times. You might ask them, okay, what should I do when I'm getting mad? What do I look like? And they can show you what you look like. And then you can do a cartoon of that, and you all can kind of laugh about how this happens. And you do these little anger drills a few times. But then when you really are angry, you can tell your children, oh, I have to go to the bedroom now and whack the bed. I am really upset. And they will know what's happening. They won't necessarily, you can kind of leave the door open and they can decide how close they want to be to this whole thing, with all your feelings, you know, roaring out. But it gives them, it sort of normalizes this. It lets them know that you understand you're out of your mind. It lets them know that you understand that they shouldn't be, you know, the targets of all of this. It gives you a place to try to recover your sense of being an adult in the situation and to let all of that negative energy out so the positive energy can take back over. So that's the anger drill. Because I also have had parents who've like made a little sign that says, "Mommy, I love you," and put it on a little stick, and you know, you stash it under the bed and you say, you know, when I start being, you know, when I start having a hard voice to you, you can go into the bed, get this little sign and show it to me, and I think that might help me. So you can give your child, you also can give your child the phone numbers of two or three people they can call when you start losing it. So I have a friend who did this, and with her four-year-old, you know, she pasted phone numbers on the wall, and her daughter could call her best friend and hand the phone to her mom, and then, you know, the mom had actually someone to listen to her at that moment when she just was out of her mind, was upset. And there's one more strategy. Tasha, do you want to talk about lying down?
Yeah, this is my favorite one. I think it's my favorite one. I think it's the easiest one, too. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one is really easy. You feel like you're going to lose it, or you're starting to lose it, or you're overwhelmed with emotion, and you feel like you're about to do something that you're going to feel sorry about afterwards. Your kids are around, and you simply lay down right there, right where you are. And essentially, you know, you're not able to be in charge of the situation. You're not doing a good job of being a parent in that moment and keeping things under control. By that, I mean keeping everybody safe and whatnot. So instead, you just let go of that. Like, that's not going to be your role right now because you're not able to be successful at that. So you just let it go. You lay down. And usually what happens is that you're more able to access your feelings. So once you let go of trying to keep things together, your feelings will come more easily to the surface. You might find that you start to cry, or even that you start to laugh, or you might, again, you don't want to scare your kids, but you can sort of, you know, play, pound your feet a little bit. That might help you to start releasing feelings because, I mean, those of you who are familiar with hand-to-hand parenting know that really what we're going for is the natural way, like harnessing the body's natural ability to heal from our hurts, from our upsets, by releasing these feelings. So laying on the ground allows you to do that. And then the other thing that it does is because we're built for connection and our kids are built for connection, they will more likely than not move towards us when we're laying there. So they might come and, you know, pat your head or have a peek at you and see what's going on, or climb on top of you if they're little or something like that. And what that does is also just kind of shifts your attention. It can kind of jolt you out a little bit, especially if you've just cried a little bit. And you can, it's much just more easy to remember that you do love each other. You do love this little child. You don't want to be, just exert your power over him or her. You really want to meet him and to connect with him or connect with her. So I love this. I love this tool. It's simple. It's easy. It sounds pretty goofy to some people. It sounds kind of crazy, but parents, even the most resistant parents who have tried it, have had really good results. And there's a really nice anecdote about it in the book, where we describe this tool. So I'd encourage you to read that. And so Patty?
Yeah.
I'm just noticing time. Do you want to do a quick bit, or can we just go into questions?
Actually, what I want to do is I want to tell people very quickly where they can get our book. It's called Listen, 5 Simple Tools. If you Google that, actually the best place to get it is from Hand in Hand. That helps us as a nonprofit organization if you buy it from us rather than Amazon. So you just go to www.listenthebook.com, listen the book, yeah, and no dashes or anything. And if you want to give this book, if you found it helpful and you want to give it for Christmas to people that you care about, you can buy 10 books at a 20% discount. And the link to go to for this discount is bit.ly/discount gift of listen. And this link will be sent to you with the replay of our call. And I just want to say also that if you want our support on a more frequent basis, and to have monthly access to Q&A with some of our trainers at Hand in Hand, you can join the Parent Club. We've got a 50% off annual membership sale right now. And how to get there is to go to bit.ly/parentclubhalfoff. The annual membership for the club is $148, and half of that is $74. And the sale lasts through December 31st. So just for those of you that might have to drop off early, that's how you can get this information in much greater detail than we can present it in an hour here. So go ahead, Tasha.
Sorry, before you do that, I just want to point out that if people are outside the United States, like me, there's a company called Book Depository that ships free to many, many, many countries. So if you're outside the U.S., you might check there. And then also, let's see. Oh, I know. And if you want the Kindle version, then Amazon would be the place to go for that. So for those of you not in the U.S., just wanted to put that out there.
So that's bookdepository.com. Is that what that is?
Yep.
Okay, great. All right. If you have a question, you can indicate it by pressing *2. And Tasha and I are going to try to do a little bit swifter job of answering questions and taking comments than we usually do. So when you ask your questions, see if you can kind of consolidate the question. Anybody? I'm going to refresh mine. Okay. And I'm just refreshing my screen so I can see that changes. All right. Okay, we've got three people. So someone from Romania, I'm going to open your line. Go ahead. Hi. Hello? From Romania?
I think that's Georgiana, and I think...
Yes, Georgiana.
Yeah, that's Georgiana, but I don't know why that hand was up. It's been up the whole time. So why don't we go with the Thousand Oaks,
okay.
The 6062.
So someone whose phone is from Thousand Oaks?
Yes, my name is Linda, and actually I'm a grandmother who has followed Hand in Hand for a little bit now, and I got my daughter into it. I was wondering, where do we go to find listening partnerships?
Ah, good question. Okay. First of all, it's not listening partnerships, like parenting, is not exactly like falling off a log. we all have conversational habits that actually prevents us from listening well. The habit of interrupting, the habit of telling our story, which is like the person's story that, you know, just talked to us, the habit of giving advice, the habit of being, you know, philosophical, oh, they're there, boys will be boys, I wouldn't worry about it, you know, they'll grow out of it, I don't know, kind of delivering little tidbits of conventional wisdom. Does not help people get to the feelings they need to offload in order to figure out what they need to do in their situation. So we have a few ways that you can learn how to do it. One is a booklet called Listening Partnerships for Parents that's available on our website. So you would just go to our website, use the search function, and just type in Listening Partnerships, and access to that booklet will come up with a whole string of other things. Or you can write in Listening Partnerships for Booklet, and I think the right thing will come up. We also have a video self-guided course on how to do listening partnerships with lots of those video clips and audio clips of listening partnerships being done over the phone and in person. And we make various points that are outlined in the booklet, but you can, you know, use one or the other to sort of help you get a feel for how it works. And then you ask somebody that you think would be a good listener, and it might be a friend of yours, or you could go onto our discussion group, or we have a Facebook group on listening partnerships also. And I'm actually not sure how you access that Facebook group, but I do know that the discussion group on Yahoo has about 2,200 or 2,300 parents, all of whom are really working at parenting by connection and supporting one another. And so you can, on there, you can say who you are, what hours you have, you know, what your parenting situation is, and hope
how
that
do you
that
get to that discussion
another
group?
Parent. Pardon?
How do you get to that discussion group on Yahoo?
Okay, you go to our homepage. You go to the icon that says community. And in the very left-hand column under that, it says online discussion group. And you click there and you sign up.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, very easy to do. Uh-huh. Yep. And we hope to be able to help people connect better with one another in the future. We're exploring how to do this, whether to do it on our website or with an app. We're in the middle of trying to figure out. We know it's hard to connect and it's hard to find somebody. Really, the best idea is to just ask a few friends if they might be interested, not take it personally if they're like, oh, man, I don't want to do something like that, and just wait till you find somebody who has a learner's mind and an adventurous spirit and try it with them. Okay.
Can I just add something really quick?
Sure.
Yeah. So one other idea is that I don't know if you've taken the starter class, the online starter class, but that class actually has weekly meetings. So you're with a group of people and you have a live support call weekly for 6 weeks. And many people hook up with people there and for listening partnerships and carry on those relationships moving forward. The other thing I wanted to say is that, so on the Facebook group, you can also post in the Hand in Hand Parent Support Facebook group, and I just really want to underscore what Patty said, but I wanted to say it even more clearly, that put out as much information as you want. In other words, put out, you know, I am looking for a 15-minute each way listening partnership on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Pacific time. You know, I'm a grandma. Are there any other grandmas out there? Or if you don't care, don't put that. But just be really, really specific. It just gets, you know, it avoids all the back and forth.
Super. Thank you. Thanks for your question, Linda. Yeah, good to have you with us. Okay.
Thanks.
Let's see. Someone raised their hand, and I don't have any information about where they're from, so I'm going to open your line if you think that's you. Say so. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi, I'm Ileana, and I'm new to parenting connections, and I'm very interested in like taking the course and all that, but I think like we're now in this situation where, you know, the stress and the violence at home has escalated, and I lost it as I never thought I would be. Like, my dad was a yeller, and then I was like, I try to put myself in timeout. Like I said, I tell my kids, like, mommy is really mad. I don't want to keep on saying I need to go on timeout. And I close the door and they freak out and it's worse. And it's like, I tell them, please leave me alone. I need 5 minutes. And they just freak out. It's just like as if I'm abandoning them. And I was like, and it's just like, I don't know how to deal with that. Like putting that distance and saying, I need some, like, to count or something.
Mm-hmm. So, Tasha, do you want to take that one?
Well, I was just going to ask, did you hear the bit about laying down on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay. So is that something that you think you could try? Because I think sometimes kids can get really freaked out or worried by you disappearing. And maybe if you haven't tried it yet, I would suggest doing it because it keeps you present. It keeps you physically present with them. And it's kind of such an off-the-wall thing that it and you have to kind of just take my word here, that it oftentimes just really shifts both your perspective and their perspective, you become much less scary and they become much less annoying when you get down on the floor.
Yeah, I think I read it and I tried once and then I didn't know what to do. I was like, what do I do now? That's actually the point.
Yeah, it's to take you out of the habit pattern that you're caught in and put you in a place where you really, you know, where you don't know what to do. And when you're a parent, in some ways, recognizing that you don't know what to do and just sitting with that is really, really constructive.
And I also want to point out the rut
you're in. And it freshens things up. So if you feel while you're lying down like you're so mad you want to kick the floor, just make noise and kick the floor. That's okay. Just, you know, just let out a sound and kick the floor and then see what happens next. It's like what you're trying to do is to get out of an automatic thing so that your instinctive mind can come up with something that might work better. And just notice that you don't know what to do. Go, maybe it's good that I don't know what to do. Nothing terrible will happen. I mean, you can't do this when your kids are like running down the sidewalk and they might run into the street. You can't lie down then. You have to be the safety manager. But as long as everybody's, you know, within the confines of the house and nobody's in danger, you can not know what to do for a really long time, and you can just lay there and go, man, I don't know what to do. And I want you to think of Tasha and me beaming at you. Great, you don't know what to do. This is so constructive. I wonder what's going to happen next. And you may be able to cry. You may be able to, one of the parents who we tell a story of, started laughing so hard she couldn't stop, and her whole family started laughing. It's like she lay down and she thought it was just, I don't know, just laughter kind of bubbled up out of her, and that's a really constructive release of tension. So don't worry that you don't know what to do. It's good. It's good. It's different from what usually happens, and you haven't created one more separation which will frighten your children. And they won't know what to do either, but together, fresh things will happen that aren't really thought through, but that will work better than what was going to happen.
Thank you.
Yeah. And just, I was going to say, originally, when I said that, you started laughing. And that's exactly, right? So even just thinking about it, laugh can allow us to release our uncomfortableness, if you will, about being in a situation as a parent when we're supposed to always know, you know, somehow we got the message we're always supposed to know what to do and what the best thing is to do and how to do it. And here I'm saying, nope, I don't know what to do. And it's kind of funny because it's, you know, such the antithesis of what we're taught.
All right. Someone from Washington, D.C. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Ann Robertson. So I have two things. One is, I've only been doing this for about 4 weeks or so, and doing listening, play listening and special time. And I found myself getting exhausted. I'm sorry.
This is the right thing to do. Keep going.
Yeah. Cause I'm an introvert and I need my own time. And when I have a lot of emotion, which my son has, I have a lot of emotion and I need to find an outlet and a rest time, and I can't seem to find that because we're constantly doing special time. And then the other thing is, when he's crying and hitting me, I don't know how to not take it personally because he's hitting me and saying I hate you and I don't like you anymore, or you're not nice, and so I just don't know how to handle those two things.
Tasha, you want to go ahead?
Well, the first thing I would say is what you're doing now is just perfect, yeah? So to start with, I'm always hesitant to start giving advice when there's a lot of feeling up, because that is really like the purpose of this call, was to just offer space to, for our own struggles. And I think that's the message here, is like, how can you create some space where you can get a little bit more support for you? So I would think about definitely trying to, like the earlier caller asked about how to set up listening partnerships, I would do that. You'll exhaust yourself otherwise. And the other thing that I want to say is that, you know, you said you're always doing special time, always doing play listening. You know, special time is not an all the time kind of a thing. We need to do it when we feel like we have something to give. So I'd rather have you do it for, set a timer for 5 minutes and have a really good, great special time where you're paying full attention to your little one and pleased and supportive and content and all of those things, then feel like you need to be doing it all the time and not feeling like you're doing a good job, right? Our brains are wired to want to do more of what we're successful at. So I'd like you to work on just smaller little bits of time that you get to devote just to your little one, okay? And in terms of the hitting, I will say that it's going to be really, really important to set limits. And again, I'm sort of wishy-washy here because first you're going to need support for yourself. I can promise you, I don't know if you can hear this right now, but I can promise you that your little one does not hate you, does not think you're a horrible mom. These things are coming out. It's just hurts, just fear. I'm sorry, was it a boy or a girl? I can't remember. I didn't.
A boy. It's a boy.
A boy. Yeah. So just, you know, fears that he's spilling out the best way he can. It's really just a call for help. And, you know, the way to not take it personally is to work on the feelings that come up for you in a listening partnership. So sometimes, especially as women, if we've had any issues with, you know, violence against us or by men, and we have boys, that can sometimes be triggering to us. We want to work on any feelings that come up, or if a parent was harsh with us, those are places that we can look at in a listening partnership, looking at questions like, what would have happened if I had said this to my mom or my dad? What would have happened to me? These are places to dive a little bit deeper. And then you're really going to want to set limits. It's going to be important to not let him hurt you. Now, he can say whatever he wants in this sort of bubble of time when he's having his upset, because, you know, the words are just words. But it is going to be important for you to set a limit lovingly. So that can look all sorts of different ways. If he's kicking, it might be just gently putting a hand on his foot and just saying, sweetie, I can't let you hurt. I'm right here, but I can't let you hurt me. And you don't have to say much at all. The messages that he needs to hear are really just, I love you, and I'm going to keep us safe. And I'm going to keep you safe is just going to happen by you gently putting your hand on your foot. Does that make sense? But again, and I want to just say, before you answer me, I just want to say that I can't say enough. I want to tell you all these things, set limits in this way, and then just listen to his feelings that come up when you set those limits, because that's going to be what heals him. That's going to be what allows him to behave differently in the situation in the future. But in order to listen to him that way, you've got to first take care of yourself. So, okay. Is this speaking to you? Am I answering your question?
Yes. I'm taking a class on setting limits with Patty, so hopefully I'll learn how to do that better.
Yeah, and it takes time, and it's, you know, there's no rush. Kids will continue to bring their struggles to us until we figure out how to help them, and that's okay. We're all works in progress, so you know, it's not a state of emergency. We know you're doing the best you can, just like the rest of us. And I'm confident especially now that you're getting the support, that you're going to be able to move through it and figure it out for sure.
Great, thank you so much.
I have one more thing to add, which is that we are when you find yourself feeling overwhelmed often, it really sitting down and kind of thinking through with someone, you know, how you can get help. It's like, who else can be with your child? Can you get 2 hours on Tuesdays and Thursday afternoons when, you know, a teenager down the street can come hang out with your child and, you know, play trains with him or take him to the park or teach him a little baseball or, I don't know, just something. Can you go ahead? It's like, in a way, I know money is tight for almost all of us, but investing in getting help when you are kind of back against the wall in terms of how much challenge is coming up and how much energy you have to deal with it can really make a difference. You know, you do need special time for yourself, and that means that sometimes you have to ask a partner to come home, you know, at 6 o'clock instead of 7:30, 3 nights a week, so that your shift isn't so long, or ask a partner to do the morning routine so that you can go out and take a run and, you know, just do whatever it is that sort of nourishes you for an hour, a couple mornings a week. Just getting help in, even if your child doesn't want that help, even if they feel like they need you, you do need to nourish yourself one way or another. And reaching out and asking, kind of building exchanges with other parents so that when your child is at home, you've got another child there, and that can sometimes take the heat off of the relationship between the two of you. And then they go to that other child's house some of the time, and that, if it can work well, that can really take a lot of pressure off. So I would look
Thank
around
you.
And
I will
see
work.
What you can do in that regard.
Thank you. I will do that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Okay.
So, Patty, do you think we can answer these questions quickly? Neither you nor I are very good at that, but let's try.
Yeah.
No?
Okay.
Yes, I think we can. Let's do it.
Okay.
We're going to
Someone
do
from Cleveland.
Yeah.
Someone from Cleveland. And
hi.
You're
Hello?
The person from, there's two people from Cleveland in line, so this is the 1186 are the last digits of your phone number. I've opened up your line.
Hi. So I'm really new to this. I have 5 boys that are 8 and under, and my oldest has special needs. He does a lot of melting down and tantrums, and I feel like the others are really doing a lot of mimicking that. And so it just becomes really loud, and I'm trying to get, like, there's times where it's frequent where they're all just start yelling at each other and all yelling, and I've tried things like somebody said, like whisper, try to be quiet, and I nothing else seems to work, and so then I start yelling, telling them to stop yelling, and it's so ridiculous, and I'm so frustrated, and I just feel like myself getting, like, all this emotion and frustration welling up, and then I just start to lose it. And I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions for in those moments. I sometimes when I'm so frustrated, I could try the laying down, but I don't want them to crawl all over me, and I know that's what they'll do. Like, I can feel myself so frustrated that that's, like, the last thing I want is for them to all be, like, touching me. And so I just wonder if you have any
I think one tool you might try, it's in the book. Actually, I just want to say that we have a chapter on healing children's fears and a chapter on moving beyond aggression. And for these questions about, you know, kids getting into each other's hair and running around and, you know, basically fears cause yelling and fears cause aggression. And so there's two really, really substantive chapters in our book on handling this. And the thing that I can think of that might actually help is what we call the vigorous snuggle. So the first child who yells, instead of, you know, trying to reason with them, which won't work because the one who's yelling is already beyond reason. It's like his thinking is shut down. So you might try, you know, it takes some slack to do this. It's like you have to do this before you are fried, because you don't have a sense of humor when you're fried at all, and you can't pull this off. But just moving in and going, oh, you know, anybody who yells is going to get, you know, 3 noogies and a raspberry on his tummy, you know, and you just do some silly affectionate thing. Oh, raspberry for you. Oh, my gosh, you're yelling too. Come here, you. Raspberry on your tummy. Oh, no, another yeller. Come here, you. Raspberries all over the place. Oh, wait a minute. My first guy got away. Raspberry for you. And you just kind of, you move in and you nuzzle and you be affectionate. You create kind of an affectionate pretend payback for the thing that, you know, that is just off track. And that can often get kids laughing. And the laughter can be contagious, so they'll, you know, they'll yell so that you'll give them a raspberry, and so they can have this kind of fun. But the yelling kind of turns into a signal for affection rather than an expression of, you know, my mind is going nuts. It's actually a strategy for getting play, keeping play going. And the second thing I would say is you need one of those sets that you get down at the neighborhood pharmacy of, you know, 5 pairs of earplugs, and you just want to have a pair of earplugs in your pocket at all times. Because yelling is a whole lot easier to handle when it isn't so loud. So getting yourself some noise canceling earphones or earplugs, so you've got longer stamina before your mind goes, I think. And boy, you know, if ever there was a mom who could use some listening time, it's probably you. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay. Someone from New Jersey, Haddonfield, New Jersey. Go ahead.
Hi, Patty. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
I kind of relate to the caller that was getting very upset about how, you know, you're trying so hard and it doesn't seem like it's working. And I kind of get a little bit resentful. Like, I'm trying so hard. I'm doing everything. I'm reading the books. I'm taking the setting limits and building cooperation. I'm on to the sibling rivalry class now. And I just feel like I hit a wall. I want to give up, you know. My husband, you know, he's kind of like the old fashioned, and we're a little bit older parents. I'm 46, my husband's 50. We had children later. So he's still back in the, you know, the authoritarian parenting type of thing. And he works a lot. So when he gets home, it's late, it's a witching hour, and I am so tired. I'm a stay at home mom. And I have one in school full time and one preschooler. When I lose it, and I go in the bathroom and put a hot washcloth on my face or whatever to get myself together, like, I have a hard time letting it go. You know, kids are so resilient. They come right back and they're like, Mommy, da-da-da-da. You know, I'm like, I don't want to talk to you. You know, in my head, that's what I'm thinking. I try not to say those things so I don't hurt their feelings. But, like, I have a really hard time letting it go. And then, you know, even with my husband, like, he gets home and then everything I feel like I've tried to do all day to foster the connections and do the play listening, and then, you know, you walk in and you start yelling, and I'm like, oh, you're just going to let him get away with that, you know, kind of. And I just feel like I'm stuck, like, in a, between a rock and a hard spot, so to speak. So, any advice on how to kind of boost myself up to try to just keep going?
Tasha, go ahead.
No, I think the obvious question is, do you have listening partnerships set up yet, or no?
No, I don't. And I just contacted a friend who follows you guys as well. She hasn't done any of your classes yet, but she's going to look into it, and hopefully she'll agree to do it, because I don't. I have a sister. I have 3 sisters. They're all, you know, one has a 3-year-old and the other ones are grown. So, and of course, that always just becomes like the back and forth kind of complaining thing. It's not really what the listening partnership is supposed to be with try this or try that with the advice, you know. I've only been following you guys, you know, I took your first class about maybe 2.5 months ago. So that's where I'm at.
Okay. Well, I mean, we don't have a lot of time, so I'm just going to be quick. But essentially, everything we've said on this call, and basically find yourself a listening partnership. And maybe what you could do with your sisters would be, either get them the book for the holidays and have them read the listening partnerships chapter. And, you know, sort of say, you know, what you could give me for the holidays is just to read this chapter of this book I'm giving you and see if we can try this experiment together. So it's like, I'm giving you this book because I think you need to parent differently. But, hey, I'm trying to build some support for myself as a parent, and maybe we could do this together. And there's this new kind of listening I've learned about. And if you're willing, I'd love to try it with you. And that's true. You could do it for your sisters or friends. And if it doesn't work, fine. I mean, I had a good friend who I tried it with, and it didn't, you know, that relationship didn't work for us, but we're still amazing friends. We don't have a listening partnership. So I tried it and it failed. Oh, well, another thing I tried that failed. Next. I think that's kind of the attitude we have to take. So get yourself a listening partnership. Post on the Yahoo group. You can just say, I'm totally new to this. You know, I've taken this class. I've read this article. That's it. I'm looking for somebody who's willing to, you know, try this out. Take a chance on me, essentially. Here's the day and time I can do it. Don't be shy.
And also, I just want to say that a listening partnership does not include advice. It's not this call. You know,
that's why she's
listening partnerships here. It's, so listening partnership is where you take all of the thoughts that you would try not hard not to say to your kid.
Right.
You go, okay, I want you to think that I'm a good mom. I want you to see how hard I'm working. I want you to please be compassionate towards me, and I'm going to tell you all the stuff that runs through my mind. When my kid does X, Y, Z, I just go, you dirty stinking brat. You know, I just want to turn you over my knee and whack your butt. Don't you ever do that again. I hate it when you do that. And you just kind of, I mean, you just, you know, you just, I don't know, unfiltered is really good because it, when we spend all this energy keeping all that at bay, we have almost no energy left with which to think or maneuver with our children in a difficult situation. When there's some place to go with all of that, it can lead you to laughing because you get so, you know, you get so frank that you surprise yourself and then you get a laugh. And then your person's still smiling at you. So then you say more frank things and it makes you laugh some more. And pretty soon you're just going, oh, my gosh, this is great. And I always wanted to tell my father, yada, 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 yada. And you can laugh or you can cry. It's like once you stop censoring yourself, the feelings come much more easily. And you can actually use what looks like a gripe session as kicking the door open to the deeper emotions that are under there from times when you really got hurt by what someone did or said to you or how that by their attitude towards you that your child is reminding you of when they're you know, when they just can't think. So it's not, and no one's going to give you advice. They're just going to encourage you to, you know, to be unfiltered and to let uncomfortable feelings come up and to remember both hard stuff and good stuff. And it will make a difference.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any ideas on how to mesh two different types of parenting? I've been trying to leave little sections of my hand-in-hand articles that I print off the computer in the bathroom so he can read them on again.
Yeah. We have two articles on our webpage. And so search in the search function on our homepage for parenting from the same page. And then there's a companion article called Parenting from Different Pages. Both of them will help you. And
thank you so much.
We don't have time to go into it, but those are good resources.
I will look those up. Thank you so much, ladies.
They're
I appreciate
written by parents who have done it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Glad you guys
called.
Are wonderful. Thank you for all your advice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you for all your hard work.
For parents who didn't get their questions answered, you can, I don't know, go to the Yahoo discussion group and ask Bing your questions there. You've got it all typed out. You sent it to us that we had enough questions here that we needed to keep going. And I think we've answered some of your questions because the questions that got asked were somewhat similar. But we'll keep an eye out there in case you come back and ask your question again. And we'll try to line out where you can find some good solutions in the Listen book. So let's see, Tasha, do you have any final things you want to say as we close here?
I don't think so. Other than that, I just want to appreciate each of you, many parents who have taken this hour out of your busy lives to listen to us and to, you know, consider taking even better care of yourself and carving out some time to really work on the, you know, healing the hurts and healing those little rough spots that are causing us to behave in ways that we don't want to. So like I said at the beginning, so often we're focused on our kids, and I think we all benefit, our kids, our partners, and ourselves when we take that time to, through listening partnerships in particular, but also through getting help and time on our own, taking care of ourselves. So this is included, this hour that you spent taking care of yourself today. So I just want to appreciate you all for doing that.
Thanks, Tasha. And I'll just remind people, the name of our book is Listen, Five Simple Tools. If you Google that, you'll find places to get it. But we hope you'll buy it from Hand in Hand Parenting, because that helps us keep reaching out to parents who want good information and good support. And that is what we're here to do. And if you want 10 books at a 20% discount, you can go to bit.ly/discount/gift-of-listen. So you can give other parents the gift of great information for really helping children get to the root of the feelings that cause them to go off track, and for giving yourself a way to build your ability to listen well to your parents, to your children, and to lead your family as a parent. And if you want to join the parent club, go to bit.ly/parentclub/half-off. You've got a total bargain waiting for you right now. So
I just want to say one more thing about the. Can I just say one more thing about the book?
Sure.
I just want to plug the book because I know it's kind of weird because you know I wrote it. We wrote it, but it's really good. I'm reading it and it's fun. Like, it's not just like, oh, this theory. I have to slog through all of this. Like, we wrote this for you guys. With young kids who don't have time to read a book cover to cover. And it is packed with anecdotes of parents just like you who had questions similar to the ones that you're asking now. And we really teach through example here in this book. So it's something that you could pick up. You can, you know, for example, you know, lifting fear, you can turn to page 247, I'm looking at it right now, performance anxiety. And then there's a little anecdote about when your child wants to quit an activity that he loves. Very specific issues that all of us, most of us, end up encountering with our kids throughout our parenting careers. So I think I've heard from people who have read it too that it's fun. And like I said, you don't have to read it cover to cover. And the other thing I want to say is that let us know how you like it and what you learn from it, because sometimes it feels like we're throwing it out into the world, and it's fun to hear your feedback and to know, you know, how you're using it to create the change that you want to have happen in your family. That's it.
Yep. Okay. And there's like over 130 stories from parents from five continents. So it's very rich with parent experience. Like, you know, where the rubber hits the road, we've got 130 stories about how these tools can help. So thank you for your kind attention. Thank you for caring as much as you do. Thank you for really looking into parenting and creating your own way of doing it. for being willing not to be dictated by conventional wisdom or what was done with you, but really letting parenting be an expression of your own love. We're here to support you, and thank you. Thanks a lot, Tasha. Yeah. It's lovely to listen to you.
Thank you, Patty.
Bye, all.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks for joining us. Hand in Hand is here to help you get the support you need for your work as a parent. To download podcasts on additional parenting topics, go to handinhandparenting.org/store. We look forward to connecting with you again soon.